This is The Sweet Spot, where we take a closer look at the week's biggest sports stories in Arizona. I'm Benjamin Yates, and welcome to the 8th episode of The Sweet Spot.
Excuse me, Ben. Apologies for the interruption. We had hoped that the Diamondbacks would still be continuing their World Series run, but that didn't happen. Their season ended Wednesday night when they lost Game 5 of the World Series. So with that in mind, we're going to briefly look back at how their season went as a whole.
Here's Ketel Marte, 0-1.
It's happened! The Texas Rangers win the World Series!
The Arizona Diamondbacks' improbable postseason run came to a sudden end, as they were defeated by the Texas Rangers 5-0 in Game 5 of the World Series. It was a roller coaster of a year for the organization, as they vastly exceeded expectations that most people set for the team at the start of the season. While the World Series loss will sting for a while, D-backs manager Torrey Lovello still offered his congratulations to the Rangers and let his own players know that they should still be proud of what they accomplished.
They were the best team. They beat us fair and square. I just got done telling the guys that I'm so proud of what they've done, and we have to step back for a minute and tell ourselves that we've done a lot of really amazing things this year.
An emotional Lovello says that he will let the Fall Classic loss run its course. He wants the team to remember how this loss feels and to not compartmentalize it.
I want to run away and hide for a few days. I want to go camping and just sit in the tent and suck my thumb, you know, and eat ice cream. Is that the weirdest answer you guys have ever had right there?
Despite the crushing defeat, the 2023 season was nothing short of spectacular for the D-backs. They finished with a record of 84-78, led by four All-Stars, Corbin Carroll, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Zach Gallen, and Geraldo Perdomo. The team would go on to sweep the Brewers in the wildcard round, sweep the Dodgers in the NLDS, and then defeat the Phillies in Game 7 of the NLCS. To say this was a magical run would be selling it short, especially considering that the D-backs were not even favored in any of these games. The Diamondbacks are understandably going to take some time to recover from their World Series loss. Once they're able to turn the page, look out for them heading into the 2024 season. For Cronkite Sports in Phoenix, I'm Austin Hepola. We'll take it back to Ben for your regularly scheduled program.
On today's show, we are looking at Arizona State football's first win in the Pac-12, as well as the historic 28-3 comeback by the Cardinals in 1987. The dominance of Horizon Girls Volleyball and search for another state title, the Arizona State Sun Devil football team won their first game since the start of the season this last Saturday, as the Washington State Cougars were not able to contain the high-octane offense ASU had. I was on the sideline at Mount America Stadium. That was the sound of the crowd reacting to a clutch defensive play in the late fourth quarter by Arizona State. That stop held the Cougars and prevented them from scoring a touchdown to potentially get back in the game. While the defense was amazing for the Sun Devils, the story of the night came from the offense. Five total touchdowns were scored off of ASU's rushing game. Redshirt junior quarterback Trenton Bourget would connect on several long passes, but the Sun Devils' rushing game was firing on all cylinders. So he resorted to handing it off to Cameron Scadaboo, who had run for 66 yards in one of his first possessions of the game.
It makes it easy for me. You know, I'm not having to throw the ball 50 yards down the field, but I can throw a bubble to Badge, and he makes the guy miss, turns it up for 25. Jalen, you know, having running backs that can catch on the backfield is huge too. But, you know, it all starts with the guys up front, and they did a great job of allowing us to have some explosives in the run game, and it makes everything easier.
Junior running back Scadaboo has been a key part of the ASU rushing game. But a recent return and tailback to Carlos Brooks has boosted the Sun Devil offense. The redshirt junior had a career night in Tempe after returning from an injury, which he suffered at Oklahoma State. With five touchdowns on the night for the Sun Devils, Brooks was for three of them, hurtling over defenses, spinning out of tough spots. He helped carry his team to a huge conference win. Scadaboo would also get a touchdown as he and Brooks would be swapped out throughout the night, and when either one came in refreshed, they became the best player on the field. Brooks was dealing with an undisclosed injury from that Oklahoma State game mentioned earlier this season. And due to that, he missed four straight games. He returned for the road trip to Seattle to play against the Huskies and did really well. Head coach Kenny Dillingham was pleased with his return, especially after his performance against the Washington State Cougars.
He's physical, he's passionate, he runs hard, runs through people. I mean, that's a guy who's battled a pretty severe injury and wanted to come back. He loves the game, and I think people feed off of that. So really good to have him back.
Brooks would set his college career high in rushing yards in the Washington State game and a career high for touchdowns scored in a single game. Last season, he was playing for the Golden Bears in California and only had one touchdown for the entire season. ASU would beat the Cougars 38-27, with Brooks as the catalyst on this offense. The win would finally get Dillingham and the Sun Devils a W on the board in conference competition.
If you're going to be in a mindset that we're going to play to win games and we're not going to play scared, then you have to attack in every phase. And I think that's just how we coach. It's how we play. We play free and we play attacking.
For the Sweet Spot, I'm Benjamin Yates. What is the first thing you think of when seeing the score 28-3? Is it that time the New England Patriots defeated the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51? Of course. But what if I told you there was another team that pulled off that same comeback 36 years ago? And that team was the Cardinals. Alex Shenevy has more from some of the players in that game and what the lead up to that game was like and what happened after the comeback.
The 1987 season was an eventful one for the NFL, but especially for the St. Louis Cardinals. As they played second fiddle to their baseball counterpart, it would be the football Cardinals' last season in the Gateway to the West. Not only would it be their last season in St. Louis, but they would also have to deal with the player strike in 1987, which led to replacement players coming in for three games and would infamously be known as the Scabs. For some Cardinals veterans, like E.J. Jr., this wasn't their first time picketing against the league.
It created a lot of distrust because you had guys fighting who were willing to sacrifice their salaries and time and energy to get benefits. But then you had guys who, you know, want to get a chance to play to prove what they were able to do.
Entering week 9 of that season, the Cardinals did not get off to a great start, going 2-5 in their first 7 games and 1-2 in the games with replacement players. Up next for them was a matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But this wasn't just another game. Just days prior to the game, Cardinals owner Bill Bidwell announced that the team would be moving out of St. Louis, but didn't say where the team would be going, which resulted in attendance at Busch Stadium of 22,449, the lowest in 4 years. For rookies like Rob Awalt, it was hard not knowing.
I recall being, you know, nervous about that as well. Everything was new. You know, I was coming out of San Diego and St. Louis was a lot different than San Diego. You know, I looked at, do I want to move further east into Baltimore? So we were looking over our shoulder quite a bit, Alex, that year. You just really were.
With the impending move bound to happen after the season, the Cardinals struggled against Tampa Bay, going down 28-3 and entering the fourth quarter, having to score 4 touchdowns in order to take the lead, a task that seemed improbable but not impossible. Head coach Gene Stallings instilled a culture of doing what you're supposed to do, according to Ron Wolfley.
Well, I think it was definitely a concerted effort of do your job and continue to play to the end. We weren't a very good team, but we were a physical team. We would fight you to the end, and I'm not just saying that.
A fourth down and one pass to running back Stunt Mitchell set up quarterback Neil Lomax to find Awalt in the back of the end zone for a 3-yard score. That was the Cardinals' first touchdown of the game. Awalt would lead the team in receiving that game with 9 catches for 124 yards.
Those several weeks in the park with Neil, he gained a lot of confidence. I think that rapport we built at the park and him just whispering in my ear a lot. There were, you know, a couple plays that we ad-libbed a little bit on. But it was within the offense. It was within the framework of the offense. It was me recognizing it and doing it and him trusting, probably seeing the same things.
The very next drive, Cardinals linebacker Nico Noga scooped up a fumble and ran it into the end zone. And all of a sudden, the Cardinals were only down 11 points with 10 minutes left to go in the game. After 2 touchdown passes from Lomax to wide receiver JT Smith, the Cardinals took the lead with less than 2.5 minutes to go. The game had shifted into the Cardinals' favor in less than 13 minutes.
Touchdown to J.T. Smith. Isn't this unbelievable?
It was amazing to see it, but the momentum was the most clear-cut case of my 10-year career that I've ever experienced, that kind of tidal wave. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were doomed. And you could see it on their faces.
Despite the Cardinals coming all the way back, the Buccaneers drove the ball down the field for a last-second 53-yard field goal attempt from Donald Igwebike. The kick went up and looked like it had the distance, but hit the crossbar and bounced off no good, giving St. Louis the victory.
Tampa Bay either wins or loses. And they tie it. It hit the post. It was going to be a tie, but it hit the crossbar. And St. Louis, with no time left, has won the game.
There were some mixed emotions on the sideline as the kick was missed, with Cardinals players being relieved and jubilant. And St. Louis would finish the season winning 5 out of their last 8 games, with a shot to go to the playoffs the very last week of the season. The game would be the Cardinals' second-to-last victory in Busch Stadium, as they packed their bags for Phoenix before the 1988 season. Junior has great memories of St. Louis, even after he retired.
My time in St. Louis was wonderful. I still got a lot of people who still remember me. And it's great. It's a great city, but I feel like a lost child. My playing days were basically mainly in St. Louis. Most people remember me playing more with the Miami Dolphins than they do with the Cardinals, which is very, very ironic. So you're kind of like that lost child that you really don't have a home. People will say, well, who's your favorite team? I said, well, I really don't have one because I played for 4 teams. You know, those things you wish could have been different.
The Cardinals' win over Tampa Bay still remains the largest fourth quarter comeback in NFL history. For Cronkite News, I'm Alex Chenevy.
With Horizon winning their section for the 8th year in a row, the Huskies will make a playoff push after winning state titles in 2021 and 2022. Cronkite News reporter Brandon Tran has more in Scottsdale about the new-look Horizon volleyball girls team.
After winning state last season, Horizon named Mackenzie Skaggs the new head coach back in March. Following the retirement of Valerie Mackenzie, Skaggs was a former player at Horizon who played under Mackenzie. She will look to carry the tradition and winning culture.
It has been such an honor to be once a player and then the freshman coach and now the varsity coach. I tell people all the time it's a dream come true.
With Skaggs being the second head coach in the history of Horizon volleyball program, the players had to adjust their system. One of the players having to adapt to Skaggs' system is senior middle blocker and Sacramento State commit Sky Garten.
I think we started off really having to get to know each other. It was a really new team this year, but we've really bonded together and gotten closer. And I think our team in general is really working together on every game, and it's been good.
Another key player for the Huskies, leading the team with 5 and 6 kills, is junior outside hitter and Nebraska commit, Tareya Stigler. She's been to 3 different head coaches at 2 different high schools.
I've had a lot of coaches because of the club and because of different sports, and so it wasn't a really hard adjustment because obviously I've been coached by different people, but it was just like, it was great to be able to see different coaching styles and just different ways to play the game, how to coach the game.
Horizon won this section and now looks to make a playoff push. The Husky will be the 4th seed in the 5A state playoffs. They will face Buckeye Union in the first round. For Cronkite Sports, it's Scottsdale. I'm Brandon Tran reporting.
And this was The Sweet Spot. This show was produced by Brandon Tran. Special thanks to Austin Hapola, Brandon Tran, and Alex Chenevy for their contributions to this week's show. I'm your host, Benjamin Yates. Until next time, thanks for swinging by The Sweet Spot.